This is program C1135. It is Friday, so I want to extend my customary thank you to all of you who are supporting the Word financially. Anyone that is interested in assisting in that area, all you have to do is jot down the contact information you'll hear at the end of the program today, and you can send your one-time or ongoing gift of any amount to that address, and every penny of it will be applied to this radio broadcast. Fridays, I also set aside this time to encourage you to be part of a local body of believers. You need a home congregation, and they need you. So get plugged in somewhere and stay active. If you're looking for a place to call home, and you're within driving distance of Elkhart East, you're more than welcome to come and check us out. We'd love for you to come for a visit and perhaps even stay. When you do come for something like that, introduce yourself to me as one of my radio Bible students. I always appreciate that. We are 157 days out from flying to Israel now. You need to make your mind up soon. So check out the brochure that's on the website. There on the front page of intotheword.net, you'll see a hot link. It's got all the information you need for this very intimate and very special trip. It's well-priced. The cost includes our transportation there and back. It includes all of the ground transportation. It includes a breakfast and a supper every day and entrance to all the sites that we go to. So all you basically need is souvenir money and lunch money. And so that's great. I want you to bring your preacher. I want you to encourage your leadership this weekend to get very serious about sending your preacher on this continuing education journey. He will come back full of energy, full of stories, because he's seen many of the places that he's been talking about for a while now, and he'll have kind of firsthand knowledge of what it feels like to stand somewhere or to walk somewhere as he's telling the story from here on out. So please get that done this weekend, and let's get ready for the trip. We are in my Living the Last Days Prophecy seminar notes, which are on the website, intotheword.net, PDF section. You'll find the notes. I'm on page 67 right now. I'm looking at the beast leader and his false prophet. For those of you that are just using the Bible, Revelation chapter 13, I want to start at verse 11 and reconnect with some of the information we went over already. We know the beast leader. He is the final world ruler. He is this horrible horn from the book of Daniel chapter 7. He is the puppet of Satan, the agent that Satan is manipulating to barricade planet Earth against the coming of Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords at the end of this 3.5-year period. But Satan also makes use of a human religious leader. And here's what it says. It says in verse 11 of chapter 13, I saw another beast rising from the earth. He had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a lion. So he kind of looks like Jesus. He kind of speaks as if he has the authority and power of Jesus, because that's what horns represent. But in reality, he's speaking for Satan. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing, if you will. Verse 12, he acts with all the authority of the first beast in his presence. He made the earth and those living in it to worship the first beast whose death wound had been healed. This is actually one of the places I wanted to come back to bring up a passage from the Old Testament. Book of Zechariah, chapter number 11, the very last verse of that chapter, chapter 11, verse 17. Now, why this is an interesting passage is because we know for a fact chapters 12, 13, and 14 relate to the last days, relate to the second coming of Jesus at the tail end of the day of the Lord. So there is a good reason to suspect that we're looking at something related to that period at the tail end of chapter 11. And this is what it says. First, there's complaints about false shepherds. Now, shepherds were the spiritual leaders, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's an image for them. So a worthless shepherd, a false shepherd, is a false religious leader. So this is what it says. Woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. A sword will be on his arm and on his right eye. His arm will be totally withered and his right eye will be blind. Now, why do I find that interesting? Because of what we just read in Revelation 13, 12. That the false religious leader is going to be upholding and supporting the first leader, the beast leader, whose death wound has been healed. And that death wound is specifically said to be against his head. And here we have the image of a bad leader who has been struck somehow in his right eye with a sword, some sort of death implement. And so it may be that Zechariah 11:17 is about that final world ruler that we're reading about, that he will get whacked in the head somehow and yet come back from that. And that's going to add to his mystique. And the false prophet is going to be speaking up on his behalf. Now, what will he be doing? Verse 13, he performed great signs. He could even make fire come down from the sky to the earth in the presence of men. So he's looking like he's got the same power the two prophets have. Verse 14, so that he might deceive those living upon the earth by the signs that were given to him to do before the beast, telling those who live upon the earth to make an image of the beast who has a sword wound and lived. He was permitted to give breath to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast might speak, and that as many as did not worship the image of the beast might be killed. He made everyone, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the slave, that a mark should be given to them upon their right hand and upon their forehead, so that no one might buy or sell except the one having the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. And so here we have what I speculated is a final control system of allegiance, where we've got probably this computer network AI that is able to give the feel to individuals that the image of the beast on their handheld device or on their computer screen or on their television screen is actually speaking to them personally, interacting with them. And we're almost there already in our technology right now with all our smart TVs and our smartphones. And the AI is going to add to that, because the AI could actually make it feel and like an individualized conversation. Again, our technology is almost there now. When you do your banking or some of your shopping online, you speak to a computer program that then speaks back to you and takes your order or takes your information based on what you said. And sometimes it's so good, you almost feel like you're talking to a person. Not usually, but sometimes. So I think we might see something like that being used here. But the bite in this is that everybody has to take some sort of physical mark, perhaps an implant, an electronic implant of some sort, that they must have in order to participate in the economy. Now, the bite of that is this. If you don't behave yourself, if you don't do what the beast leader and his prophet wants you to do, then you will be cut out of the loop. You will be starved to death because you can't participate in the economy, or you can be tracked down and put in re-education camp, or if you're really bad, just simply executed. And we know that there's a lot of that that's mentioned here. So that's how I think it'll play out. I already told you that I think that the final pope of the Roman Catholic Church will be the false prophet. And I'm not alone in that. Even among some elements of Roman Catholicism itself, they suspect that the final pope will be a betrayer pope, that he will throw in his lot with others against the true faith. And that I find rather sad, that they kind of anticipate that and yet still remain in that system at the moment. I'm guessing that they think that they can purify it and get it back on track. But verse number 18 is where we dropped off last. Here's wisdom. The one having a mind should calculate the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man. His number is 666. Now, you can play with the Hebrew alphabet. You can play with the Greek alphabet. That's been done in the past. And suggestions have been made as to who this final world ruler is. Every suggestion up to this point has been wrong. So you've got to be cautious about it. Manipulation of this numerical system is very easily done. So I'm a little hesitant to play with any of that. I will tell you this, that the oldest recording attempt, oldest recorded attempt of trying to do this, tied it in with the leader of the Roman Empire. And I have been presenting to you a belief system that effectively the Roman Empire will be revived after the collapse of the sixth seal breaking, the great chaos that will ensue, and that the Roman Empire will effectively be revived after that point, and that it will be the leader of that empire that will be the troublemaker, the Antichrist, the final world ruler. So I would tend to go with at least some sense of that original belief system about the meaning of this name or this number. Now, it could be just a very generic symbol, because six is an incomplete number, because seven makes a full week. So six is an incomplete week. We also have six being the day on which man was made. So maybe there's the symbol here that this is man. This is a flawed man that's doing it. The trebling of it, 666, so three numbers, might be where it's a false triunity. And we do see a false triunity that kind of pops up toward the end of the book of Revelation, where Satan, the beast leader, and the false prophet are thrown together into the lake of fire, or into the abyss, the pit. Maybe this is all symbolic just to let us know that it's going to be a bad guy at the tail end. But there might be the reality that once whoever this final world ruler is comes to power, the people who calculate his name will realize it matches this mathematical formula. And so that will be interesting to wait for, because there'll be no doubt that we're in the final 3.5 years once that sixth seal is broken and the sun goes dark, the moon goes bright red, and the stars and the angels are falling from the sky, and you've got the beast government coming up with the false prophet supporting him. That'll all be very, very obvious. The next thing that we read in the book of Revelation is about the 144 martyrs. Now, we met the 144,000 back earlier, chapter number 7, where they were being marked. The wrath of God could not fall until they had been marked, until they'd been sealed. And that sealing, by the way, is kind of a repeat from the book of Ezekiel, where people before the destruction of Jerusalem in the Babylonian time period were marked with the Spirit of God. So I suggested to you at the time that we were talking about the 144,000 earlier that they are likely to be evangelists, likely to be ethnic Israeli men, young men, because they're virgins, that are out there preaching and teaching about the coming of Yehoshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, and that they are protected to begin with by the two prophets. But as they go out to do their job, as they go out to spread the word that Jesus is coming again, They are martyred. They are murdered. They are killed. And that once the final 144,000th man is dead, that's when the gloves come off. That's when God pours out his wrath. So let's read chapter 14 and talk about that. I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion. So this is Jesus in the heavenly realm, because the Mount Zion here is a reference to the heavenly area. With him were 144,000 with his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. So that goes back to the sealing that happened on their foreheads. There's probably a bit of a reference back to the uniform of the high priest. He had a gold plate on his forehead as part of his hat, part of his turban. And there was raised lettering, like a seal, on that golden plate. And it said, Kodesh lo Yahweh. So, holy to Yahweh. And so these guys are sealed with the name of the Father. And so they might be sealed with that idea that they are holy to the one who was, is, and will always be. Verse 2, I heard a sound from heaven, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of a great thundering. The sound I heard was like lyrists playing upon their lyres. So we've got music. They sang a new song before the throne and before the four living beings and the elders. No one could learn the song except for the 144,000, those purchased from the earth. So this is a special song of praise and thanksgiving from these special martyrs at the tail end of God's patience on planet Earth. And the fact that they've been purchased from the earth makes it very plain they are dead. These are those who have not tarnished themselves with women. They are virgins. That tells me they're young men. And we go on, following the Lamb wherever he may go. They were purchased from among men as a first fruit offering to God and to the Lamb. And we know that Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrected. So he is the first to resurrect from the dead. That's the symbolism, the first fruits offering. But in this case, we're talking about those who die during the 3.5 years. These are the first guys to die for their faith. And I think their number marks the place where judgment will then begin. My suspicion is that they will all die before the Mark of the Beast program goes into effect. Verse 5, no lie was found in their mouths. They are unblemished. So they are effectively speaking on behalf of God. Then we get this public service announcement. Chapter 14, verse 6. I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven with an eternal proclamation to proclaim to those sitting upon the earth. Now, we, in the present age, the New Testament period, we Christians are responsible for preaching the gospel to our fellow humans. But this announcement comes from an angel with a warning that is so serious that it needs to be delivered to all humanity at the same time. So it has to be done by an angel. And so it's delivered to every nation, tribe, language, and people. So it is delivered to everyone in their native tongue. So everyone gets this announcement from an angel in their native language. Verse 7, saying in a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship the one who made the sky, land, sea, and the springs of water. I believe that this warning comes in conjunction with the final beast government and the false prophet announcing the implementation of the mark program, of the loyalty program, that the beast leader has to be worshipped if you want to be able to participate in the economy. So God's response after his 144,000 martyrs have died is, I don't think so. You need to fear the one who created everything, not this beast leader. And his judgment is on the horizon. It's about to fall on you. And so effectively, this public service announcement, I call it public service announcement one, is everyone on planet Earth has a clear choice. Worship the true and living God or worship the beast leader. Then we come to public service announcement number two. Verse number 8, another second angel followed, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who has made all the nations drink the wine of her passionate prostitution. It has a parallel, I believe, because of the wording that we see here. And in my notes, I boldface in these parallel comparisons. The wording that is exactly the same in the Greek language between the two passages. So on my notes, page number 71, I go over to Revelation chapter 18, where it says this, After this I saw another angel, so there we have another angel, having come down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined by his glory, he cried out in a loud voice, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. So that's an exact match. She has become a dwelling for demons, a haven for every unclean spirit, every unclean bird, every unclean hated beast, because all the nations have drunk of the wine of her passionate prostitution. That again is an exact duplicate of Revelation 14 public service announcement. The kings of the earth have fornicated with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the power of her wantonness. Now, I've already shared with you my conviction, my belief, that the beast is carrying on its back, that is, the beast government is carrying on its back this prostitute woman, this false faith. She represents a false faith that existed in all of the governments that the beast represents from the time of Egypt right up until the time of the final beast government. And all of those things have in common a false faith that has a female entity that is at the centerpiece. You've got Ishtar and Aphrodite and Venus, and eventually, and I'm going to be controversial here, you have this fake Virgin Mary presentation, as if Mary, the mother of Jesus, is given special worship within some sectors of the Roman Catholic Church. She is even referred to by some as the co-redemptrix, so the co-redeemer. She is said to be born without sin herself, because they believe in inherited sin. They've got this idea that she has an immaculate conception. So she takes on a godlike figure, a goddess-like figure. She even utilizes some of the titles, the people who worship her, use some of the titles used for the ancient goddess worship. Queen of Heaven. And mother and virgin. So all of that makes me very suspicious. I believe that the tail end of the historical presentation of this false faith is the Roman Catholic Church, particularly the leadership of the Roman Catholic Church. And this is one of the reasons I also believe that the final pope is going to be the problem with being the false prophet. So here, the public service announcement is basically Rome, the city of seven hells, the place where this false faith has had its headquarters for a very long time, is falling. And so here comes the public service announcement, verse number 4 of chapter 18. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out, my people, from out from her, so that you might not share in her sin, and so that you might not receive of her blows, because her sins are cemented together as far as heaven. And God kept account of her unrighteous acts. Give her, even as she has given, give her two times what she acts, her acts deserve. In the cup she mixed, mix her two times as much. The cup that's referenced there comes from the earlier presentation that she's drunk on the blood of the saints. You remember that. And verse 7, inasmuch as she's glorified herself and lived wantonly, in the same way give her torture and mourning, because she's saying in her heart, I am sitting as a queen, I am not a widow, I will never see mourning. Therefore, in one day her blows will come, death, mourning, and famine. She will be burnt with fire because the Lord God who judges her is strong. So this is where we find out that this prostitute woman riding on the back of the beast, who was used by the beast to kind of consolidate power, consolidate authority, once the false prophet all feel that the beast government has its full footing, as much support as it can, as it's about to put into the Mark of the Beast program and the controlling factor of the image of the beast and the mark that has to be taken, or you can't participate in the financial economy. Once all that is in place, the woman is not needed anymore. In fact, Revelation chapter 17 says, verse 16, the 10 horns that you saw and the beast will hate the prostitute, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, burn her with fire, for God has placed into their hearts to carry out his purpose, to accomplish one purpose, to give their kingdoms to the beast until the word of God shall be completed. So they hate this woman, and as soon as they can get rid of her, they destroy her. And that is where we will pick up next week, when we get back into the Word.